What up, y'all? It's your man, D-Real, the Black Panther, stalking the urban jungle in Vibranium Adidas, bringing you another session, live, unadulterated, of B-Real with D-Real, for January 17, 2019. How y'all doing, first of all? Second, I just want to say, go Chiefs! I didn't know if I would get a chance to get that in there, but to all my Kansas City peeps and as well as the Kansas City Chiefs squad, good looking out. Go and beat the brakes off of the New England Patriots. What are we going to talk about today? I got five questions that have been in my head for, I would say, the better part of a year, and it amazes me that no one looks deeper into the reasoning behind these questions. We just simply go, yeah, because that is what it is. I'm mad too because somebody else is mad. I always tell people all the time, constantly ask questions. Do research. I mean, don't take everything at face value. And especially do not take value what you see, glean, read, come across on social media. Okay? Because social media is fueled by opinionated, angry people. Not to say I ain't opinionated, but what I would also like to say is I do not try to influence or force anybody to think a particular way. I simply present information and leave it up to you to weigh what is and what isn't. I had a call already, and I really haven't said anything. Hello, caller. What's up?
I think that's me.
That is you. What's happening?
Oh, good. Real. Okay, so the question you were asking earlier, one of the questions is regards to white history. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, I would love to give my two cents. Sorry?
Well, fire away, sir.
Okay. I personally believe that that's not going to happen for several reasons. One, I think the climate right now, socially, to make it difficult to start anything with the word white, be it for the implication that it might lead to something of a racial nature. And I think that a lot of white Caucasian individuals are afraid to even commence that, even though if their intentions are good, because of fear or guilt that it might be perceived that way. Second, and more importantly, I honestly don't believe people care about history. Past eighth grade, when we look back to what we were doing in high school, it was really not for furthering education. It was just preparation for work out in the workforce, honestly. So the buzzword of why that doesn't exist is the same reason why Black history is not as popular as it should be, or American history is not as popular as it should be. It's because there's too much social pressure to not identify something as blanket as one color per the history, my opinion.
Okay. I don't think my goal was, I was not petitioning for, and let me just put that out there. The purpose of asking the question was not, well, some people don't, judging from what they've been putting on my page, I am not petitioning for a White History Month. A lot of times when you ask people about quote unquote white history, and there's a comment on my page, you can go back and look, people automatically go to Great Britain or early American history. The same way people, when you ask about Black history, when you ask the layman about Black history, they automatically go straight to the Middle Passage or the slavery era in the United States of America. That ain't Black history. Black people been around like 5,000-6,000 years before that. Does anybody know that history? Does anybody want to know that history? Very much in the same way, so are white people. And why do we not want to know their history? Well, here's the thing right here. If you want to go as far back as you can go back, that be the Greeks and the Romans, right?
Okay. First argument's sake, we'll go there. Okay.
Well, I mean, anything else you're going to get off into to measuring blood content. but for
the Phoenicians and the Sumerians, but I see what you're saying. Go ahead.
Okay. they focused around three things: conquest, duress, and excess. I wouldn't want to know too much about that either if that's all there was. Okay, let's go forward about 500-700 years. Vikings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, same kind of thing. And no matter where you go historically, you're going to find a pattern of that. So the answer to that question, why isn't there a White History Month, at least for me anyway, would be because it would be all about rape, murder, pillaging, and taking things from people who you either made into slaves or who you never considered equal to you in the first place.
Okay, but to play devil's advocate, isn't that human nature, period? Case in point, when we talk about our work, we can give a brief description about what we do for work and so on and so forth, but what do we really focus on? The promotions we got, the steps up from where we started to where we got to and so on and so forth, the amount of money we're making. All of that accumulates to the success we've had at the workplace. I don't think people really want to sit around and find out how many bagels one ate in a particular month at a job, or the number of plants I picked on the way to work, which would represent agriculture and culture and so on and so forth. The main focus really is the success, and the success is often measured by accumulation. So if history reflects conquest and unfortunately rape because it wasn't socially regulated as it is in the modern day age, that's kind of just the highlights of colonization, which I'm not promoting.
Yes.
I'm simply saying that's just the definition.
It is the highlight of colonization, but that's their history, not ours. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And it's never, when we talk about it, we never talk about it just flat out, butt naked, raw, the way it is. Because it is what it is at the end of the day.
Right. Is there much more to that history other than...
And excuse me, an appropriation of other cultures. Yeah, that's probably why you couldn't have a white history. It wouldn't be very rich. That's why it has to be broken down into nationalities, and we get these various national pride things going on, and not just collectively saying, why can't we as whites have pride in ourselves and say, I know where this sounds like it's going, but it's really not going there. It's just, when I say pride, I mean pride in a sense of having a good feeling about oneself, not necessarily saying I'm better than you are. And to just kind of backtrack and reiterate over what you were saying about what most people talk about at their jobs, well, I'm in a job, my business basically is I provide services to people that they don't have. I provide assistance. I provide support, you know. And when I talk about my job, a lot of times I talk about how I enjoy helping people and how I get, you know, this great confidence boost in being able to be a source of, I'll use the word loosely, blessing to someone who may not have what the next person has for whatever reason. So, yeah, I'm not
exactly
really
how they were promoting that. That's exactly sounds exactly how they're promoting theirs. For example, Manifest Destiny.
Yeah, but my job is not about claiming and taking over anything. My job is not about dominating anything. So I don't sit around bragging about those kinds of things.
Well, you are competitively better than other broadcasters, and you may not be bragging, but the fans speak up and say that you're a better broadcaster than most. That's why we keep tuning in. So,
Okay. I give up. I can't argue with that logic because you're stroking my ego. But at the same time, to get back to what we were saying about white history, again, everything we're discussing is opinion. So what I'm sharing, again, is not to hoil the gospel truth, because some people would listen to me and hear what I have to say, and rather than hearing it, start formulating responses and attempt to poke holes in it. See what I'm saying?
I hear a disclaimer coming about. The views and meanings expressed on this radio do not reflect that of the companies and all subsidiaries. Is this where the disclaimer comes in?
I'm not throwing a disclaimer out there. I'm simply saying that, I don't know, let's quote Popeye, I am what I am. And I do not challenge, I don't challenge anyone to be me, because only I can be me. If what I am is better mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever, than the next person, then rather than me sit around and talk smack, it forces me to go extra heavy on the humility. You know, because I've been a braggadocious, proud individual in my lifetime, and I've seen where that's gotten me. So rather than, you know, just continue on that path, I would much rather learn from, you know, my errors and move forward.
Okay.
So, wow. Off to a rousing start, aren't we? I expected a response to this because a lot of people were like, "Oh, there's no such thing." And my goal of asking that wasn't to get anyone to figure out if there was or wasn't, but just a little piece of useless information. Well, it might not be useless. It might be very useful, depending on who decides to use it. There is a book. There's a book out, right? Well, yeah, it's been out for a while. It's called The History of White People. And essentially, it's a book by a gentleman named Neil Irvin Painter, and it basically explores the idea of whiteness through history. Because what we don't understand, we might understand it, but we aren't aware of it. There was no classification of race until the 16th century. Nobody referred to anybody as a race. They were just, you was either a Viking or you know what I'm saying, or whatever group you were in, that's what you were. There weren't black, white, Asian, all that. People didn't refer to themselves that way. It was only at the onset of slavery, or at least slavery, chattel slavery, slavery that was in the form that it was in the 18th and 19th century, did we start talking about race and race become a thing. So that might be a book to take a look-see at. because it even chronicles the beginning of scientific racism as it was in modern Europe.
It sounds like a book that our mutual friend with a master's degree in history would recommend, so I will definitely look into that.
Okay. All righty. And okay, before I forget and get lazy, the number is 646-646-666. Dang, I done forgot the number. let me actually look at it. There we go. 646-668-2268. There we go. If you're calling in and you got a little something, you feel like you need to say, share, tell me, whatever, by all means, spit it out. I'm on the phone with Vladimir. And Vladimir is sharing his thoughts about White History Month. Are you still sharing?
Oh, that was my point. Okay, just straight to it. That was it.
Okay. So you're good on that area?
I'm good on that area. I appreciated your response.
Okay.
Back to
do you want to stay on or do you want to come back later? Because I got four more. I'm about to dive off into it. I'm pretty sure they're going to set off.
I don't mind staying at all.
Okay.
I would stay.
Vladimir's hanging out. Okay. Question two. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and a female, by the way, and we got on the topic feminism. And I asked her, what is true feminism? Okay, because I talk to women and I hear women talking, and when they talk about feminism, there are two very distinct schools of thought when it comes to feminism. And the question that pops up because of it is, do right away, I know the immediate answer to that question is no. But just like with any movement, black movement, white movement, LGBTQ, whatever, you are going to have an extremist faction. And these women who quote unquote hate men, these women who quote unquote are like fuck men and men can go somewhere and die, they need their penises cut off or whatever, that is the extremist viewpoint. The true essence of feminism is based in equality, not superiority, to be equal. They don't want to be more than. They don't want to be less than. They want to be equal. They want to be equal to men in terms of job positioning, job salary. They want to be equal to men in terms of a lot of different things. And that's just what it is. And so I guess my sub question becomes, are we that chauvinistic still? Vladimir, your thoughts.
I personally feel very sorry for any woman who disagrees with feminism, which I find kind of funny, because if feminism is a choice, to be shamed out of supporting feminism as a woman seems kind of counterproductive to the whole point of it all. There are women who benefit from feminism, and I'm totally in support of all that, yet there are some women who choose to want to live a more traditional lifestyle that's being frowned upon by feminism because it doesn't match the feminist ideals. But if the whole point of feminism is equality, then to not allow a woman to have the choice to be whatever she wants, if it doesn't support feminism, seems weird to me. I hope I didn't lose anybody in that explanation.
Okay. Going to try and build it. So what you're saying, first, are we in agreement that true feminism is based in equality?
There is another term that makes more compassion towards that answer, and I thought that answer was egalitarianism, and that was more equal. The fact that the word feminine is in the word feminism, but asking for equality, then you could turn around and say, well, masculism, if that's a term, could equal equality too, but you got the word masculine in the word masculinism, if that's a word. So to claim equality but still have an aspect that's specifically one gender in it, it's hard to swallow for a lot of people. At the same time, I understand what their goals are, in essence. So I agree with the ideals and fundamentals of feminism, but there are a lot of radical takes and opinions on how to interpret what those ideals are.
So are those radical opinions, do we feel like they have a place in the movement of feminism? And again, this is just an opinion because it's going to be what it's going to be. I'm just sharing my thoughts.
Let's take a particular example, the wage gap, which seems to keep resurfacing over and over and over again. There's facts that it's been debunked. There's facts that support it. The concept that any company that's getting away with illegally paying one person for their gender versus another for their gender is completely immoral and completely illegal. So there should be more evidence of these companies getting caught doing this, and there has not been a successful, that I am aware of, successful evidence to condemn this company is specifically paying this woman 68 cents per dollar versus this gentleman. We're not seeing that evidence. We're still only getting opinionated data. So it's hard to get behind certain ideals that haven't been proven yet. Once they're proven, of course, we can address it. But when they're not proven, that's just one example. There's other things that have been proven and have worked. But the ones that don't work, it makes it hard for everyone to get on board. Because a lot of us are basing our decisions on logic and facts and statistics versus emotion. Not making any accusation that any of these are emotion-based, but it's just like our flawed justice system. We still need some foundation of evidence to work with in order to address whatever needs to be addressed.
Foundation of evidence on what?
Proof that wages are not equally being paid to employees for the same amount of work.
So women who are complaining about wages, are they just belly aching because of something they think, or are they actually
that's
having problems?
That's generalizing. When there is a specific company that's specifically doing this, there should be specific evidence of that. If there's not specific evidence, it's hard for everyone to get on board and resolve the issue, is what I'm saying. I could complain about a particular crime, and if they turn to me and say, well, what is the crime? If I can't tell them what the crime is or provide evidence, provide a location, it's hard for people to help address the crime. With that said, when you've got things like the wage gap and it's hard to pinpoint which company is doing this specific vile crime of denying wages, it's hard to address it. And when it's hard to address it, you know, we're kind of spinning in circles. So that's why certain ideals, when they get hijacked into sort of a radical sensationalism without ways for us to successfully solve it, that's where we're not moving forward with that movement. Again, there's other things that have moved positively, but I'm saying small problems like that is what's holding all of us uniting together because we haven't resolved that issue specifically.
Okay. Well, the National Women's Law Center says that wage gap is a harsh reality for women, regardless of education or work experience. So, It translates, basically, if I'm reading this correctly, into more than $10,000 a year in lost earnings because they aren't getting paid what a man's getting paid. So that kind of sounds like a problem. Specific places, some trees and see what falls out, I guess. I mean, to me, if it's the same thing as with black people talking about being unequally harassed by police. If all of these black people are saying police are harassing them or police are doing things to them, I don't think there needs to be specifics. If a gang of people knocked on your door and said something happened, what reason would you have to doubt that it didn't? I mean, you could go and verify. At the same time, an angry mob is a pretty good indication that there's some inequality going on.
Address that specific problem, though. In that same example, if you have a particular officer that's known to be causing racism, we should be able to pinpoint that officer's name so we can do something about that officer. If you're telling me we don't need to know the officer's name to know it exists, fine. We can all agree that there is officer harassment, officer brutality, and so on and so forth, but we need specifics so we can stop that person from continuing the thing that we are seeing in obviousness. I don't need 8 other people harassed by this officer to continue the narrative that officers be doing this. Let us know who that specific officer is and address it. It's just like the argument we made about individuals who are trying to stop the Wakanda ball. All of us are asking what specific companies are trying to stop this so we can address those companies, so we can boycott those companies, so we can have a narrative and talk about it instead of saying these companies are trying to stop this. I get it. Let's focus on specifics to solve it instead of complaining about it, because we can all agree, great, wage gap exists. Harassment exists. Give us specifics who's specifically doing so we can specifically do it, because, you know, when there's a crime committed by a particular male, we can give you names and addresses and times and accusations and so on and so forth. That person's whole life is registered on social media. So I'm saying, let's do the same thing with whatever company is getting away with wage gap.
Then that's a case-by-case basis. I mean, what you want me to do a definitive case study on wage
equality?
That's
a great way to start. Let's say, is it Johnson & Johnson? Is it McDonald's? Is it Walmart? What specific company is committing this particular wage gap thing so we can address that one? And if we address it by case, we are setting an example for other companies. Oh, wow. The people are catching on, and they're going to blast us. I don't want to lose money, so I'm going to start treating my employees equal, because the people are actually going to each individual company and putting their foot down saying, this is not going to continue. We want equality for all people of all genders, for all companies. And that's how change happens. We can't just say, as a broad example, injustice exists. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So then my next question would be, why does this issue exist if there hasn't been, I mean, there have been case-by-case studies that talk about it, but We need to hear individual cases to know something exists?
Yes, so we can resolve it case by case. They're getting away with this because they'll just hide under the big umbrella that, oh, I'm just a big bad company that does it, so what? If I am stopping this particular company in this particular city that's affecting these particular paychecks to these particular females, I know I'm setting an example for others to start doing it. When people say this problem is too big for me to solve, I'm just going to complain about it and wait for somebody else to solve it, it doesn't get solved. If I made a difference at this particular branch and this particular city that I live in to affect these particular women that I work with, I've made a difference. And that's all another person needs to see to make a change happen. They want to address wage gap? Well, they did it for their town. They did it for their paychecks to affect their children today. Not complain about it being a big, huge global problem, and then nothing happens. That's all I'm simply saying. And that's the disconnect between individuals who want to get behind this movement and those who want to say, I'm just going to let it blow over and wait, because there are people who want to solve problems different ways. They don't want to tackle the mountain. They want to pick at the pebbles at the bottom. And if you're not providing them an opportunity to solve the problems the way they want to solve them, then we just got people all complaining about problems.
Vladimir, I have a caller that I'm going to chime in, and I'm pretty sure they are going to have something to say.
I can't wait.
Hey, hello there.
Hey.
How you doing?
What's up? What's up, D-Real? How you doing tonight?
I'm fine. Yes, I'm a realist.
What's up, Vladimir, in the background? Hold on, let me close these loud-ass little dogs out. Hold on a second. I was just shouting out Vladimir in the background because he's making some eloquent points. Oh, I've never heard his voice. He's very eloquent. Oh, my gosh. Loved what he was saying. But I thought if you were going to talk about feminism, maybe you need someone feminine to call in.
I was waiting for somebody feminine to call in.
I wanted to jump in on the case by case. Okay, so the case by case, because it still seems like you're driving at something. Like, I don't think you've brought your question all the way home yet. You're kind of breaking it down like you do. But I'm jumping in on the part where the case by case, I think that's exactly how, that's kind of like a hands-on, that's a pragmatic way to handle things. And some people are very pragmatic. That's one prong of getting some shit done. About inequality, let's just say, since that's what we're talking about here. But then they're systematic, right? They're systematic. You know how we talk about, oh, the criminal justice system against black men, right? You know, well, yeah,
right.
We go case by case, and I think we do go case by case. But it's still a system to address. There's still some philosophical – there's still a philosophical prong. There's still an other – pieces to the puzzle, right? There's, you know, everything starts with the big idea, and then you go all the way down to the hands-on getting something done. Also, I wanted to add, just to not bog down on unfair inequality with wages being like the only thing that's like a feminist issue. Of course, everybody knows it's not. That's a hallmark example. But, you know, there are other examples about, you know, you're punished if you get pregnant. Well, who else gets pregnant in society? Somebody's got to get pregnant, right? And then you lose your job because you took time off to have a baby. Or, you know, you had a baby and then they won't, you know, give you time to take care of it. Those are things are systematically built in against how life works for a woman. You know what I mean? Women have a lot to offer, you know, intellectually in all industries. And women happen to be the people who have children. But our system is set up to punish women, you know. So, yeah, I think case by case, I think we're doing that. I think that's happening. As far as, like, sexual assault, I think that's being done case by case right now. It wasn't even a case by case shit going on with that for a while. Me too. I rolled my eyes at that when it first came out. But, no, I'm 200% on board now with it as a movement. I don't feel like, you know, I have to have been raped to understand, you know, that there's something going on that needs to be changed. So I think case by case is starting to happen right there. Every time you see Weinstein and Cosby and all these people starting to fall, case by case is happening. All right, so that's what I really wanted to just stick in there and let you kind of go on to wherever you're driving to.
I'm driving to another road because it's about 55 minutes left and I got you two online and I know y'all love to talk. So let me case by case does indeed work and it is working right now. You brought up an excellent point. It's happening. It's actually happening. And we are definitely seeing change in the area of feminism. But at the same time, to me, it feels like something that should have been done because the people who were against it should have wanted to do it. I mean, being against someone's equality, to me, feels unnatural.
Well, you know, The other thing that's case by case, you know, like I was saying about the different prongs, because raising awareness is a very important prong, because nothing's going to be hands-on, nothing's going to start get done until the awareness prong is also addressed, right? So it's once there's awareness, it's just awkward. How many brothers are going to go in and go, this woman is being paid less than me? You're not going to go, you know, what are you going to do case by case at your company? You know what I mean? Like, would you do that for racial justice? You might. But if you just, oh, that's a woman thing, you know. I mean, everybody should take some responsibility in this, you know. So all these questions you're asking yourself, too, as a man, you're asking all of us these rhetorical questions. What are you doing about it?
Well, if I can chime in.
Go ahead.
I've never had an opportunity where a woman was not able to give me a step-by-step way to solve a problem that pertained to her. Hypothetically, if I come home and my girlfriend has not had an opportunity to eat, should I be figuring out ways to immediately address her hunger, or should I say, you're right, women are starving all over the world? She's going to look at me like, yeah, I understand that bigger problem. I have an immediate problem, Vladimir, that I would like to address because I am hungry right now and you are capable of helping solving this problem for me in front of me today. So it's back to that whole pragmatic part. I want to be able to solve the wage gap, for example. How do I specifically help address that problem at a particular company?
That's a personal question. That's a personal question that you ask rhetorically, and when you reach into your soul and you resonate with the question yourself, because what I just threw out there was you kind of look for ways for yourself. It's like when white people go, what can we do to help y'all's movement as black people? How can I as a white person? You know, well, as a white person, why don't you be among white people and do something about it? And Vladimir and Gabriel, I already know both of y'all are the type of fellas who would do that if you saw something inappropriate going on amongst the fellas. I know you are those type of warriors who would, you know, speak up and step up when it counts, when it's uncomfortable, when it's amongst your peers. You know, talking to a woman about it is one thing. That's like a white person talking to a black person at a bar. Hey, what can we do to help you? No, what do you do when it's all white people around? You know, ask yourself that question as well. We all have to ask ourselves.
Because
we're all offended.
And that's the disconnect. See, I feel like the problems of the wage gap affect women more than men. Therefore, they should be able to help us identify it step by step or in a smaller chunk that we can address it. If there are leaves in my yard versus leaves all over the neighborhood, I don't know if I can rake up all the leaves in the neighborhood, but I can rake up the leaves in my yard, and I know how to take care of the leaves in my yard.
But you know,
you're telling me there's a problem about the wage gap. I want to be able to solve the wage gap problem. Give me a company to go pursue. Give me a specific avenue, and I can go attack it. And you're telling me it's a big problem that's not going to be solved overnight. So there are a lot of us men who are very step-driven, ex-military, who are just give me A, B, and C. Tell me what I need to do to do this. And you're telling me there isn't. And it's like, well, now I'm a little discouraged because I like the little victories of raking up all the leaves in my yard, or at least making an attempt that says what I did made an effort. So when you present us with these big, grandiose problems,
but you know
about a leaf
when you see a leaf. You don't need a woman to tell you what a leaf looks like. I mean, leaves in your yard, leaves in someone else's yard. But my point still is.
Right, but
that,
I do need
like
a woman to point out
to
me
point
which company
out
is cheating her out of the 23 cents she's earned. That's what I need. I need a company that's going to be
pointed
out.
You can figure it
this
out.
This specific company cheated me. This specific organization cheated me, Vladimir. Go fight. Great. Now I know what to attack. If you can't present that to me, I'm getting discouraged. I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
Okay.
I'm just saying, point me in a direction to attack and I can attack. And that's how a lot of men feel. So when you have this problem that you're saying exists but don't know how to present to me how to solve the problem, I feel useless. I don't feel like I have a purpose because I don't have a plan of execution to attack the problem that has not been defined. And that's what discourages a lot of people from getting on board with all the ideas.
Vladimir,
yes.
And here is the gist of it. I don't need anyone to tell me that there is a problem with men and women, and that's why there is a feminist movement. So I know there is a problem. If I want to help, I can do that research. I can find that out. I don't need her to tell me that. I can find that out on my own. You see what I'm saying? Well, it's us expecting them to do everything on their own. You know what I'm saying? Equality doesn't mean you can't assist.
I can give another example, and I'm sorry to keep giving a whole bunch of analogies. When somebody is ill or injured and goes to a doctor has to ask enough questions to get an idea of what's ailing them. If the patient cannot reveal what's ailing them, it challenges the doctor to be able to solve the problem itself. Give us an idea. Are you sick? Do you have a temperature? Do you break a bone? So on and so forth. By not providing enough information to the doctor or physician or wherever you're going, you're complicating their ability to attempt to solve the problem. Then you can't turn around and say, well, the doctor, the physician's not doing their job because they're not asking the right questions. The doctor needs to ask more questions. But you came to the hospital to get the problem solved. So there should be an idea of what you feel the problem is so the doctor can help address it, not knock the doctor for not asking the right questions to the problem you presented to the doctor in the hospital.
A lot of patients come in unconscious, sweetie. A lot of patients come in unconscious. And the doctor has a medical degree
not a majority,
to
though.
Know what to do.
Majority of women. So if it affects a majority of the women in the workforce, then there must be enough to be able to give a clear definition of how to solve the problem.
A majority. It's just that it happens. Like, I don't know that that's the majority. I don't know. Not in my experience,
To be perfectly honest, it was, do true feminists hate men? That was the question.
We got on a tangent.
That's how that happened.
I thought the question was, what were your feelings about feminism, and if you feel, and I went into the whole, I believe more egalitarianism, and the whole females who don't agree with feminism, so I thought that's where we were going. I didn't know about the hating men part. I thought that was already addressed.
That was the question. Because what I was saying, there are two schools of thought in feminism. There are what is referred to, quote unquote, as true feminists who are striving for equality amongst the sexes, and then there is a faction that we could call toxic feminists, just like there's toxic masculinity.
Well, the obvious answer for me is no. Hating men. Come on, I love men. I agreed with your earlier when you and Glad were talking earlier before I called in. You were saying something about you're questioning the word feminism. Period. And Glad says something about he was talking breaking down feminism and masculinism. I'm a little uncomfortable with the word feminism. It's a loaded term. It's like liberal and all that. You know, people kind of charge it up. But the fundamentals of what it means. You know, to me, yes, I'm definitely a feminist, and I definitely do not hate men. So that's an easy – I said a lot before, but, yes, that's an easy thing to answer. No, that's not what it means.
But there are
extremists.
Yeah, and that extreme faction is being mistaken for the norm is what I see.
Like Black Lives Matter – they must be all radicals. Well, no. I mean, you know, it's like, again, when the radicals hijack the movement or when the people who oppose the movement point out the radicals to tear it down. So Yeah, I can see how it's evolved into kind of a uncomfortable term for people. I find it a little bit uncomfortable because it's not even consistent with racism. Racism is like exclusion of someone of another race, discriminating. Feminist, to be a feminist, that seems like that's saying, what are you, against women? It's just weird to me. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, feminist. You're a feminist.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't get it. But, yeah. Yeah.
It sounds a little more of a consensus here. Good, groovy. That's where I wanted to be. My next question. Are all police out to kill all minorities? And the reason I ask this question is because damn near every conversation I have about this, the word all is constantly used. All cops are corrupt. All cops are crooked. All cops want to kill. That's all I hear. Now, when you got to understand what you're saying when you say all. That's what we don't think about.
Well, all and never statements are.
You're saying all.
It's probably untrue. Anything that starts with all or nothing, you got to be careful on the truth there. It's just, you know, how people talk. Like, you never take me anywhere. Well, you know, that's a lie. But, you know.
Yeah.
That's it.
My point is, we need to heighten the collective consciousness. I mean, because I know that at some point all of us are going to be in this conversation sometime in the future, whether it's on social media, whether it's in person, whatever. And you're going to hear during this conversation the word all. And that's not true. It's not. Angry as this subject makes us, as much as it incenses us, as wrong as it is, the injustice that occurs, it's not every cop in America. It's not. That's impossible.
You know, I have a question / topic I want to bring up that's related to all this. And I'm really glad she's on the phone because I would really love to hear her opinion as a woman, as a feminist. Why isn't there a stronger push for – why isn't there a stronger push for more – women, especially black women, to be police officers? Because I really feel like their presence in law enforcement would regulate a lot of things for individuals who have respect for women, who have respect for black women, and have respect for the law. It just makes sense to me.
Yes. Do we have a ballpark figure of, I mean, I don't know. I know a few cops that are black women.
The more the merrier. I mean, let's think about this. If the consensus of the individuals feel that law enforcement is corrupt. Sorry, go ahead.
I used to be married to a black cop. So
okay.
Yeah, they're around.
I'm around.
We may not be paying a whole lot of attention to them, but they're around.
Yeah, but we're not promoting more of our sisters to be cops now, and I'm wanting to get your take on it. I know they exist, but you know the natural idea when people say police officer, they're not thinking female black, they're thinking other. If we change that perception and increase the numbers and have them in law enforcement, and we believe that black women can do a better job at performing law enforcement than the ones that we are complaining about, why are we not promoting that in the spirit of female empowerment, in the spirit of correcting something that's been tainted by what everyone else thinks of when they think of police officers? Why aren't we promoting the ones that can do the job better? That's the question I want to ask.
Wait.
It gets really quiet when I ask that question for some odd reason, and I've always wanted to hear a woman's answer to that. They'll give me the pat on the back. Oh, yes, I agree with you. But, like, but really, are we really promoting that? And is there a reason why we're not?
Sway.
Is there a reason why we're promoting or not promoting what? Is there a reason why we're promoting or not promoting what?
No, is there a reason why we're not pushing for more women and or black women to go into law enforcement, to correct the image that it's corrupted and so on and so forth. If we believe in female empowerment, if we believe that they can do a superior job at law enforcement than the corrupted men, air quotes, that are in law enforcement, shouldn't we just change it all and invest more women? I mean, we're already pushing women into so many things that have been traditionally men, and we've seen good results. More women in STEM research, more women graduating from college, more women in academics, more women in other career fields, and we're seeing good results. Why isn't there a push for more
women? I think women might naturally gravitate or not gravitate, because as you just pointed out, women actually make up the majority of college numbers overall. So it's not like more women, you know, more women against, yeah, women outpopulate men in college. So they have, so women have choices once they're educated or whatever, you know, or have some awareness and make choices on what they want as a career. Some tend to go one direction, some tend not to. But personally, I would like, I just want to see everybody do what they want to do and not be blocked. I don't feel like everything has to, we have to push for equal numbers on everything. I think if women aren't interested, we don't have to force them into it. But if they're being blocked from it as they are, that's a different situation.
Okay, but there are a lot of men who don't want to go into law enforcement. There are a lot of men who don't want to go into the military. There are a lot of men who don't want to save lives fighting fires and so on and so forth. But there is
a push for
them, because morally we want our numbers to survive. We want to morally feel good when we save lives and so on and so forth. And if that feeling, if that push for a man to be a man, quote unquote,
maybe the police department, HR department should open up their marketing plan then and their recruiting. I mean, that's a good place to start.
That's
HR department,
that's exactly where I was.
To attract women.
Boom.
To let
Why
them know,
aren't there
hey,
more
here's
women?
How you can help
yeah.
us.
Yeah, who's hiring women?
The city is whatever. But we can also have a narrative as well to promote it. We didn't wait for the scientists to say, all right, we're going to start hiring more stem cell researchers. We didn't wait for the colleges to start promoting. We pushed for women to enter colleges and graduate at a high rate. We pushed for them to get the positions and be GI Jane, so to speak, and so on and so forth. We didn't wait for them to open their doors. We pushed our way into, well, not by me, we as in they, as in women, they push forward for that. So
there you go. Okay. So
if
so,
women,
so
that's
that,
my point. That's why I answered your question. If women wanted to go in law enforcement, they would be doing that. They would already be doing that. And if they should be encouraged, that's a different question. But they.
Okay. That is my question. Why are we not encouraging more women into law enforcement when they can clearly
HR,
do a better job
department.
And they could spin
First
around
of all,
that whole narrative?
I think a lot of people are
that
encouraging their sons to go into the police department. The police department, I don't care if you're
because
a black
Because women
woman,
are
black
doing
man or
a better job. We just pointed that out, because women are doing a better job at law enforcement. Why would I promote my son if a woman's getting a better number, is getting a better effect?
I just think, no,
you just said
but you missed what I'm saying. The police work in general, a lot of people aren't rushing out to do it. So if we want to
Because
encourage
we're not
people,
promoting
then,
it. And if they're better
well,
at it, then
I mean,
he should.
I personally, sweetie, personally, if you want to say we, I can't answer that because you're talking about a they off of this vacuum. Me personally, that's not going to be my personal crusade to get black women on the police force. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing against that. I just don't, if some case came up, I mean,
my
I could
question,
be
my question
activism
is why,
around
though,
that.
If women are better at it, I can't understand why we're not pushing for that.
Because they just don't know. It's an awareness thing. Raise some awareness about it.
Which is why we're not, that's what I'm saying. But I'm just one man. I'm just curious why other individuals who aren't, to me it's obvious to me. If I'm going to pick a basketball team, I'm going to try to pick for the people who are the tallest and the most experienced, because it just obviously looks good.
I think it's on men. Men should be encouraging women to go in the police department, period. Because if women want to,
it shouldn't be men encouraging women.
It should be men.
Why men?
Because it's been traditionally men. And you're a man asking about it. So
Wait. What do you mean it was traditionally men? Isn't the whole reason why women are doing good in colleges because it was traditionally men-only colleges? And you push to change that narrative. You can't expect
you're,
us to
we're
do
on a
that for you.
Daryl, bring us back. D-Real, bring us back. This is
okay.
a rabbit hole.
Okay.
Well,
yeah,
this is not an argument. This is not an argument.
It's a rabbit hole. I think we could come together, but he only has so much time. Let him finish his little.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure that you didn't think I was arguing or being difficult.
All police are not out to kill minorities, but the narrative is that they are. And if we want to raise awareness about something, let's raise awareness about the fact that every cop on earth is not out to kill every black person on earth. It into that. We've been turning it into that over the years. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying trust every cop you come across. That's a discernment thing. That's with anybody, not just police officers. You need to be able to discern if a human being means you harm, let alone a police officer. But this false narrative about all, you know what I'm saying, and people promoting hatred and bad tidings towards police officers. I mean, like one of my best friends that I grew up with, his dad was a police officer. Okay, granted, he was a black police officer, but he was still a police officer. And so if we're saying police officer, we're blanketing.
I could probably get behind that. Like, you know, that's wrong. I would, because if I had loved ones or, you know, and of course, who the hell are you going to call if you get in trouble? You talk shit about police all day, but if somebody does something to you, who are you going to call, right? So, you know, this demonizing that's wrong. That's wrong. And I could get behind that, especially if they say if there was a – and then we were kind of having a little rash of police shooting, you know, where people are just shooting cops or whatever. I don't think it's really a rash, but we hear about it. If there was some issue or if it keeps bubbling up, that's something I would get behind. And then I think you could definitely knock on my door for some action, some grassroots reaction to that. Because we need police officers. Somebody's got to do it. Black women, black men, somebody's got to do it. We need them. And it's wrong. And if that was your job, you wouldn't want to be treated that way.
Yeah. Well, then we need to do our part to raise awareness about that. Okay, by just simply changing how we word that, you know, it's not all. Not all inclusive. Because if it were, it'd be a lot more dead black people. or just dead people in general. Yeah, so I guess not too much more to talk about. Here's my fun question. Is the water clean in Flint yet? The reason I ask that is because I was reading an article today where they were talking about they're in the process changing out the lead pipe system in Flint and replacing it, and they should be done replacing it this year. So keep your eyes open about what's going on with Flint. Don't let that slip and just become one of those situations that gets Rolodex into the back of your mind or your thought process and you don't think nothing about it. We need to hold the people, not the people suffering, but the people in legislation that have power to effect change and keep an eye on this and see if they are actually actively doing something to rectify the situation in Flint, Michigan.
You know, I unfortunately blame our dependency on social media that doesn't tell us much information. I mean, there's a lot of things that are still going on that we are not kept up to point about. I've forgotten completely about the whole fight for the pipelines in the Dakotas. I completely forgot about the whole Pebble Mine argument here in Alaska. And I want to blame social media, but we become dependent on how they feed us, what we do. So it is unfortunate that we are not keeping abreast of what's going on in Flint because social media is not telling us enough, and we should be more proactive in keeping up with that stuff. Just because CNN is not telling us doesn't mean the power problem went away. So thank you for reminding me personally and all of the listeners who...
Yeah, because here's a little FYI. That I had no idea about, and I started researching. August 20th, a judge ruled that there was sufficient evidence to proceed with a criminal trial for one of the individuals charged with involuntary manslaughter because the water caused a Legionnaire disease outbreak in Flint, Michigan.
Good. Good. Glad
to
see that.
There you go.
That's all for.
So in our righteous anger, let's keep up with what's going on.
Thanks
because
for bringing
people
that back
on social
to our
media.
Mind.
Right, because people in social media are like, well, what's going on with the water situation in Flint, Michigan? Motherfucker, have you checked? Instead, you know what I'm saying? Instead of just getting mad and putting up a post, did you go Google the Flint, Michigan situation before you got it sent? So just to let folks know, the wheels are turning, gang. They're turning slowly, very slowly. And just to give you some kind of reference, all of this started in 2014.
Oh, God. Has it been that long?
Yeah. It has been
freaking
long. It came to public attention in 2016, but it's been going on since 14.
I've noticed that there are a couple of celebrities. Yeah, you're right. Like, thank you for bringing that back to our minds. And like Vlad just said, gosh, there's so much going on. You're just like, oh man, that's right. The pipeline. What about? Gosh, there's just so much going on all the time. And thanks for bringing that up. Sometimes we have good intentions and we just need to be reminded. And the person you played it is easy to Google because I've come across some celebrities who are putting their celebrity behind the issue. Lil Will Smith's son, Jaden, he has a company that's trying to solve problems with he's put his own money into the Flint water crisis. So, I mean, things are happening, and if people want to see more happen, then, again, you are responsible for making the change you want to see. You know, if you want to see more black women on the police force, if you want to see, you know, equality here or there, if you want to see justice, seek out the information and, you know, do what you can do. Yeah.
And like I always say, that's all I do is I'm not trying to, like, convert everybody to my way of thinking. I'm just presenting information, and whatever people choose to do with that information is on them. You see what I'm saying?
Vlad,
so,
isn't that why you love
his
show? He raises aware, like he just gets the conversation going. Yep.
Absolutely.
And
that's what we need more of.
That's a prong of activism. That's a prong of activism is what I keep saying, is raising the awareness and having the conversations and having the discussions, because action won't happen just acting and just acting. That's just acting out, you know. So this is always good. That's why I love your show.
This has been a great build, and I thank you both. And I want to end this on a high note. Question number 5 is like my favorite question of all, and it's kind of philosophical, but at the same time, I can give real life examples. And that question is, why are we enabling stupid people? Wow, crazy. Okay, here. I'm going to give you an example.
Like, what do you mean?
I'm going to give you an example. Okay? Does everybody know who Bad Baby is?
Who?
Oh, you do. You don't know her by her name. You know her by her catchphrase. Catch me outside.
Bad Bobby.
Here's what we're going with. She just got a $900,000 contract.
I believe it.
Why?
I believe
why?
Oh, here's a better question. Why are other hip-hop artists, who are black, by the way, supporting her? There was a magazine cover, I want to say XXL, that had all the leaders of the new school, quote-unquote. Yeah,
oh,
and there were a whole bunch of new black artists. And when they asked questions of those artists who are also struggling, who are also trying to get their name up, their answer or their question back to the people was, hey, how come Bad Bobby's not here? And I was scratching my head like, you're a new artist. Why do you care if another artist, such as her, was showing up to this photo shoot or not when I have never even heard of you, whatever this new artist was? So that's a deeper, so that correlates to why are we enabling stupid people? Why are other struggling, who all happen to be African-American, why are other struggling African-American young artists promoting this woman? That's a good question.
That's a very good question. And she's just one of many stupid people who way too much attention to. And I think a lot and that's why they're able to do what they do, because we enable them. Well, I ain't gonna say we, because I ain't heard a damn thing she's done, but at the same time,
I didn't even know who you were talking about. I was like, who? And I still don't. But I get the gist of who she is. She's one of those chicks that I don't pay attention to. But
Let me give you reference. Okay. Do you know where she got her start? No?
Mm-mm.
On Dr. Phil. Her mother was at her wit's end with her and didn't know what to do with her. She was bad as hell, was just acting ass on
her. I don't know who you're talking about.
$900,000 contract.
Well, let me answer your question. First of all, so why did she get a $900,000 contract? That's not us. That's some company. That's somebody who decided, hey, we think we can make some money off of this foolishness. Okay? That we can't really control that except for algorithms. Because you know what? Most of what we do is online. Our social time, we buy stuff online, we do our banking online, we get our news online. So algorithms, sweetie, even if you don't like something, when you say you don't like it, you have put money in that person's pocket. People, the algorithms show response, reaction, and that's what ticks these people's numbers up. So even every time, I know I will take my guilt, but I'm conscious. I try to stay aware of it. Even sharing something, and I think I'm guilty of that this week, unfortunately. But even sharing foolishness to comment on it still puts money in their pocket. So unfortunately, algorithm is driving, because we're in this social media age. That's what's driving popularity, and that gets these people money. Some company goes, wow, this person had 3 million people say something about something they just did, even though what they did was stupid. So it's attention whores and attention pimps and trash pimps, you know, making money. And here we are. Here we are.
So I have an unpopular opinion about all of this. Unfortunately, I do download and purchase some of this music for the sake of making certain I know what my son is listening to, so I can have those kind of discussions, because these children are sneaking in these little code words in their mumble raps about what they're really trying to say. And I need to have a discussion with my son and with children around his age and say, hey, I know dun-dun-dun really stands for ecstasy, so I'm going to have a discussion with you about that. I know that this is code word for that, and I need to have a discussion with you about that, because if our children are repeating these words that they're not really aware of, or maybe they do know, we as parents also have a responsibility to listen to their music and intervene when we need to make certain that they're not mimicking a lifestyle that they're not fully aware of, may not be the lifestyle we want them to live, simply to rebel against us. There was a lot of hip-hop I listened to in the 90s that was very offensive. Did I understand all of it? Absolutely not. I did it because everyone else was doing it. It was popular. Loved West Coast music, and a lot of it was very disrespectful, but I mean it in a different way. I mean the B word is a term of endearment. I needed somebody to have a conversation with me saying, I understand that you're doing it for fun, Vladimir, but this word is offensive to our people, and this word is offensive to black women specifically. If I don't have a parent doing that for children, then we are perpetuating these stupid people, as you put them, to continue this music because we're not checking them. We're too busy saying, oh, it's mumble rap. I don't understand it. I'm not going to bother, so I'm going to be ignorant. And then those children continue to be in that environment, not realizing what they're saying and mimicking and doing is actually very harmful instead of just being stupid, such as holding stacks of money to their ears. Still don't understand that one at all. Maybe I'm too old, but...
It's like, but son, put your rent money down. Go on ahead and pay your landlord. Quit posing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He made an excellent point. Yeah, that's how we can make a difference is talking to your young people. That in terms of why are we and how can we stop? He made an excellent point. Yes, that's a perfect thing to do is talk to your young people. You got to know what's happening to talk to them about it. But it goes back to what I said. If you want a real hands-on change, it's hard because clicking on it makes it money, unfortunately. And I deal with tech companies every day. I know how the algorithms work because we have to try to protect their intellectual property. Clicking on it even to say, I want to talk about how this is wrong, you're doing the right thing. But just know that's how it works, and that's how the money is calculated online with things we're doing online. And it's picking people up.
I do.
Okay.
I do. When
well,
I
know
my
me
son's like, out of this way to share the
yeah,
music,
I
got to do it
personally,
my whole way.
Yeah, yeah. I personally have to make an effort to do quieter research. Because a lot of times when I research things and I find out about it, I immediately get incensed. And I'm like, the people must know. They have to be told about this. And it's like, okay, see, the point we're making now is like, damn, I'm helping the process expand. So I've got to find a covert way of sounding the alarm without – alarming the algorithm, as you put it.
Right. And that's a tough one because it's rigged, you know, and I don't use that term lightly, but it's rigged already online where you kind of you have to work hard to work around internet.
Yeah. Well, it's just
try
like
some
I think
screenshots,
somebody,
you know,
I think
maybe
was,
do a screenshot. Maybe do a screenshot instead of a share. You know, I mean, there's some tech things that can, you know, you can work around. You know, you see something fucked up, don't share it, screenshot it, and talk about it, or I don't know.
Oh, that's why piracy exists. I don't pay for these albums. I download them for free and then delete them when I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what piracy is for. Torrent downloads. Uh-huh. That's
right.
How you do it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, who knows? Maybe I'll start making songs again. And promote my thought process that way. So if people want to hear what I have to say, they'll have to pay for it. Is that evil?
No. That's capitalism at its finest.
Yeah.
Yes, it is capitalism. Dyed in the wool capitalism. Yes. Can you guys believe we got through 5 questions?
Yay.
I want to ask more questions.
Well, a couple of your questions were easy. We cruised right past, like, are all police officers bad? We kind of cruised through that one pretty quick because, you know, no.
Right.
Maybe that's just something
but
that needs
vast,
to go out on the airwaves.
But the vast majority, you know what I'm saying? The vast majority is really not aware. It's shocking. Of like how the word all changes a narrative. You're dealing in absolutes when you say all.
Yeah, I just have to hope that's not what the person's – like, when I hear all and never statements, like you always or you never, when I hear those statements, I mean, I have to keep it in context and go, okay, I know the person doesn't mean that, and I'm going to answer it as if I know they don't mean that. But sometimes you don't know, and you especially don't know if somebody's typing it and you're reading it, like what's the sentiment behind this. Maybe that's just how they're expressing it, but they don't literally mean all. But then there are people, of course, who literally probably do, and they make it clear, yeah, I don't trust any cop, and I don't, you know. And in that case, that's wrong, you know. They feel they've been harmed. They feel damaged. They're angry, you know. They don't know how to get past that to be more fair. And so, you know, that's people.
It's funny you should say that, because I have a client on my caseload who does not like anyone who shows up to his house and their vehicle has a siren and flashing lights on it. That includes the police, the fire department, paramedic,
ambulance,
anybody who shit got a light on it and goes or any similar sound like that, he does not want them at his house. The crazy part about it is he frequently has seizures. And when I say frequently, like every day or every 2 days. And some are okay, and he can just get past them and keep on going with life, but other ones are like those ones that just lay out. I'm scared I'm going to go over his house one day, and he's going to have been laying there for like 4 or 5 days because he won't call anybody, and he has like crazy seizures.
Well, you know, some people might have a little PTSD-type trauma or childhood trauma from, because usually a flashing light means something is very wrong. Something is very wrong somewhere with that. So it's a trigger. And, you know, I'm not saying that this is the case with your friend, but just sympathetic to somebody who, and they may not even be expressing it in a sympathetic way, but if you can think about why people are acting like that, shit, if you saw your, you know, uncle or somebody carried away on a stretcher, you never saw him again, or police shot somebody you knew, you know, it could just make that irrational connection or some kind of just PTSD or something, untreated issue.
Well,
there.
He has an intellectual disability.
Oh, uh-huh.
So,
yeah, so he might be holding some emotional, you know, things that he can't express. If he has an intellectual disability, he may not be able to express his emotions in a way that, you know, we all understand. And, yeah, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. But the average person knows good and well, though, that when shit goes down, you're going to call the cops. If you got shot, you want to get medical help, you want an ambulance to get you somewhere to the hospital. So people are just, kind of reacting to things.
He'll crawl to the hospital before he gets in a cab. Case in point, he was bleeding out of his butt. Rather than call someone, he walked to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
That's how much. He does not want to be bothered with flashing lights and sirens.
Well, couldn't he tell him he needs like a Uber budget? Like, get, you know, have an Uber ready. Uber comes in about 5 minutes, and you'll be there. You know.
Yeah, but does Uber have pads to absorb the blood from his butt on the ride there? I mean, this raises more questions by bringing up Uber. Am I missing out? I want some Pampers just for no reason when I ride in the Lyft. I'm not going to use it, but I was never offered one. I feel cheated. I want equal benefits when I ride in my Lyft or Uber.
Okay. You guys are too much. I am at the 10-minute mark, so this is where I sum up and close the show. But before I do, I want to say thank you to Sway and Vladimir, who have made this the most enjoyable almost 90 minutes ever. Thank you, thank you.
Bye, Vlad.
Okay. Always good talking and hearing you.
It was awesome.
It's
can I say one more last thing?
Of course you can.
Okay. All jokes aside, I am in support of feminism. I would love to be an ally in any way, shape, or form. I do believe in equality of men and women, and I hope no one took any of my questions any sort of negative way, like he's just trying to stir up the pot. He's not really trying to solve problems. My goal when I ask questions is to be educated so I can better assist myself and mankind, or humankind, however you want to define it.
That was good. I like how you caught yourself and said humankind.
I didn't take any offense. I'm just argumentative. Yeah.
Yes,
you're 200%. Yeah, I'm just argumentative. So 200%, we're cool. I love everything you said.
Of course, Vladimir, you know this is a forum for you to sound. Okay, I'm not gonna tell anybody they can't say something unless they just flat out being rude and disrespectful.
Right.
So yeah, you're always welcome to speak your mind here, bro.
I hope you're not mad that I'm argumentative. I didn't mean to. You know, that's my closing.
Yes, I was crushed and devastated by all of your interaction. I'm just joking.
Hey, Vlad, if you listen to the show, then you know she likes to argue.
That's true.
So that's just a fact. And it is just something I have comfortably just gotten used to.
I like to debate. I don't argue. That's not how I am in my relationships. I like to debate.
What
I love a good
performance. Where I had a guest or two on and you yelled them down a couple times.
That's what the intellects call sapiosexuality.
Oh, I love that word. It's one of my favorite words.
Sapiosexuality?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sapiosexual is you're attracted to intellect. Intellect is like more attractive than even the physical.
Oh, okay.
Like I don't pick the cutest guy. I pick the guy that can handle me.
Oh. Okay. We just spent 5 minutes doing that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to say...
<All right.
laughs> I'm so glad we had this time together. And peace out, Vlad. Peace out, Sway. Don't be strangers, y'all.
Peace.
Bye, the real. Bye, Sway.
Bye.
That was fun. I enjoyed that thoroughly. In summation, I just want to say, because in my introduction, I was talking about, you know, vibrating on different wavelengths, and the gist of what I want to say is, and this is what I tell my kids all the time, question everything. Everything? Yes, everything. Because we live in a day and age of bogusness and hypocrisy, and you are almost forced to question certain things, because as we found out, some people just don't ask the right questions. Other people are stubborn in their ways and loath to change. This is why we need to ask questions, especially these kind of questions. Some of them are quick answers for certain people. Other people might sit and marinate on these questions for months, weeks, years. Still never come to a reasonable conclusion. So, as I said for like the umpteenth time on this podcast, I am not trying to convert people's thinking. I am simply presenting information and allowing you to assess. You know, if you listen to this podcast and be like, he's full of it, then that's your assessment. If you listen to this podcast and get something out of it, you're a realist. Speaking of realness, I had an improv show tomorrow night. MMA, Mostly Melanin Arts, down at the Out North Theater / Alaska Experience Theater, whatever the heck they're calling it now. Make up your mind and change the name and stick with a changed name. 8 p.m. to 9:45, me and my squad will be doing some improv, some swell improv, and we will be entertaining whoever is in the room. Also, a little known fact, the Second City Improv Troupe, for those of you that don't know who the Second City Improv Troupe is, Google it, John Candy, Andrea Martin. And they have agreed to give a class on improv on February 2nd at the Performing Arts Center. There are 25 slots, and currently between the improv group Scared Scriptless and my improv group, we are taking up about 17 of those slots. If you want to come and learn improv from the improv masters, the improv demigods, Second City, please reach out to me and let me know, and I will put your name on a list. Just be at the Performing Arts Theater on February 2nd, which I believe is a Saturday. Yes, it's a Saturday, 2 p.m. to 3:30. So you might want to get there before 2 p.m. And that should about do it for me. Join me next week when I will be tackling another topic that is certain to make people debate. But until then, I have been and will always be D-Real. And until we are interfacing again, y'all be good and be good to each other.